Hello, everyone. This is the episode where we talk about the movie Moon with Sam Rockwell. If you have not seen the movie, please check back when you have, because we do discuss a lot of spoilers. Other than that, it's a great show, and I do a fabulous BSG rant at the end. Sorry if it offends anyone. Enjoy the show. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. I think this is episode number 26. We have Will, we have Ryan, and we have Eric. And we're going to talk about some Warehouse 13, some Moon, some Eureka. And, you know, if we start rambling about other stuff, we'll do it. So, Moon. Will and Ryan was very excited, very insistent that I see this movie. And I'm glad.
Good.
I ended up enjoying this a lot. If you haven't seen the Moon movie or any of the shows that I mentioned, turn it off now because we're getting ready to spoil it.
Spoilerific podcast
today. Yeah. Well, I figured it out, the gist of the movie, which was there were clones a little bit before they actually revealed it. And I was kind of impressed with that.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to say about that. Sorry. That exact point, after we spoke about this movie last time, which is the first time I had heard of it, I immediately went to go and watch the trailer. And in the trailer, it pretty much gives that away, which I was very upset about that, because I really hate when trailers do that. So, fast forward to me watching the actual film, I was there going, oh, I already know, you know, that's going to happen. And then, when it was already going that way, I was actually very pleased that it happened relatively close to the beginning of the movie, the reveal and everything, because I was afraid it might be held back till near the end, and I had a feeling it would be ruined for me if that were the case. So since it was really kind of knocked out in the first 15-20 minutes, I was like, oh, thank goodness. So the trailer didn't ruin everything for me.
Yeah, I liked this film from a story standpoint in that you know he's a clone long before he figures it out. Mm-hmm. You know what that transport device does to the clones. You also figure out that it's a 3-year lifespan for the clones.
Yeah,
and they never say that. They don't say, oh no, you know, it's you don't have the painted thing with, you know, somebody on the vid screen said, oh no, you're only living for 3 years and blah blah blah, and you're, you know, and that transport tube, it kills you and vaporizes your remains and blah blah blah, and it didn't have that big, oh my god, reveal of everything that you should have been figuring out in your head.
Right.
And I do like that they went for that. So what did you guys think of Sam Rockwell and his performance?
Right.
The guy.
Excellent.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah. Ryan, we haven't heard from you.
I thought he was amazing.
Go ahead.
I thought it was like watching an incredibly well-written stage play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow allowed to have the same actor play two different characters. and I agree exactly with what Will was saying. I felt just like I was watching a stage play. I thought they did a really good job, kind of like when you read a really well-written novel where sometimes they'll let you get two or three steps ahead of the main character and kind of give you some things that he doesn't know about. And then at a certain point, there were a couple times where they reversed it, where it seemed like the characters had some ideas that you weren't really sure where they were going with, and then they reintroduced some tension. And I thought that it was a masterful way to play with the audience's expectations while they're watching the movie.
I totally agree. It was just this... I love the dynamic between him and... his other
him.
Clone. Yeah, him and him, you know. It was just, he did a really good job, and it really posed the question of clones, you know. The way they used it in this fashion, they had, like, maybe, what was the, Sam, his name was Sam, so, and his name is Sam.
Yes. Yes.
Sam Prime, I believe, was still on Earth with the daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so not only did they have a Sam Prime on Earth, which in the end he was going to visit his daughter, which was going to be weird because there's already a Sam there. But, I lost my thought.
I do like your calling him Sam Prime, though.
Yeah, well.
Harkens back to Star Trek.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. I can't believe I lost my thought like that. Sorry.
That's
if you
right.
know where I was going, oh, God. It'll come back to me.
But concerning Sam
Rockwell,
I can't believe it.
Concerning Sam Rockwell, like for me, for him as an actor in general, as far as I remember, the very first time I recall seeing him in a movie was in a Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Yeah, and so having that as a starting point for him as an actor, and then seeing everything he's done since, it just blows me away because I never would have expected it. You know, I always thought he would have been a B, C list actor. Well, he is still B, but
he's one of those. He's not the Tom Cruise type of actor. He's a character actor. You know, he actually has those dimensions. And if you remember him, three roles I remember him was obviously Galaxy Quest, this movie,
Choke.
And the other one. I'm sorry.
Choke. Yep. Choke. Chuck Palahniuk's Choke movie.
I've never seen
that.
Sorry.
It's
in my queue now.
But the other odd movie I saw him in was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
And if you look at him, you look at that guy in those three roles, he does not look like the same guy.
Nope.
He's a different person, an entirely different character. And actually, he pulled kind of that arc, amazingly enough, he got to play two points in the same man's story arc.
Yes.
In this movie, you know, Sam is the clone's going home, has been there for 3 years, has dealt with has resurrected everything and dealt with his relationship to the world and people and not having them around and everything like that, which changed him. And then he comes out of the cloning process the waking him up as the angry man, and he gets to play both sides. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Because it seemed like a younger him and an older him. A cranky him and a zen him. Well, I guess what I was going to say before I forgot was, how do you feel about the way the clones are being used on the moon like that? They last for 3 years. I mean, is that... I don't know if it's ethical because they're clones, but they still feel and... I just don't know how I feel about that.
That's the only thing I felt a little cheated about, was the ending was so anticlimactic and unfulfilling for as solid as the rest of the movie was. I felt like they had all these important kind of moral things that they were trying to ask you to think about. And then you hear that nice, really subtle, like, radio transition and the reactions to him coming back to Earth, and I felt like it left me with all this other stuff that I still wanted to hear about and think about and talk about.
Yeah.
Well, see, I enjoy that aspect of it because it's like, again, they didn't tie it in a nice, pretty little bow.
Well,
they didn't say, no, cloning is wrong and doing this is wrong. Well, I think it's obvious from the opening section of the film where it's like, we're the happy family company, we're really good, that you don't want to think about all of your energy being dependent on one being who has to die every 3 years. You don't really want to think about that as the people on the Earth.
But the technology to have built that is pretty amazing. To have brought it down to a science to where it's every 3 years, you automatically have the guy go to his death with no question at hand. It's kind of clean until you have a little ugly breakup situation we saw in this particular movie. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about it.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it either. But I still think that's like a, and I think ancillary question. Mm-hmm. Like it's off to the side because I don't think it's really like ancillary, the main. It's not the main story that the movie's trying to tell or focus on. It's just something else to think about. But I think the main emphasis of the story is just, what does it mean to be human, you know, or what defines humanity more than what is, you know, clone rights and all that stuff.
Now, I wasn't really necessarily, that's pretty much the answer to that. Like, what are you as a human? If you are a clone, are you a human? I don't know if it's about clone rights or anything like that, but I mean, it's...
Right. I mean, it's not exploring necessarily the ethical question, but just the question itself, like, you know, what comprises person.
I think that part of it is, it's what are you in the eyes of a company, a corporation? you know, here is a guy doing a job, working really hard. And the other thing is, we don't know if he's dying of just the clone lifespan is 3 years, or if he's poisoned by radiation. I think he might have been poisoned by radiation. Mm. So he's out there on the dark side of the moon, and they didn't bother to radio shield him from the radiation that he's of that isotope the H3. You know, and it might be radioactive. I don't know that it's not radioactive.
His hair was falling out and his teeth was falling out.
His teeth were falling out. Yeah, exactly. That's radiation. Or it might be the clone breaking down. We don't know. Yeah. But, you know,
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I know. It struck me too. But it's kind of weird in that, you know, what is your worth to the company? What is your worth to yourself? What is your worth to others? You know, this is at least an aspect of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it totally is.
What is your worth, and are you really human? And
yeah,
because basically, he's portrayed as another tool, just like Gertie, and just like another harvester. He's just another piece of equipment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Organic equipment. Exactly. Gertie, I thought the robot was going to be evil.
Oh yes.
I was waiting to go
that
hell the whole
great.
Time. There's a specific shot where he's kind of sitting at the computer and it's kind of focused in the background and that arm kind of slowly comes up and I'm waiting for him to like puncture him straight through the heart or something. he just kind of nicely came over and started typing the password or something.
I wrote that down.
That was such a great shot. That's where all that tension came in, where it was like, we thought we knew everything. We thought we were smart because we figured out they were clones. And then the robot, you start kind of wondering, how much does he know? How much is he in on it? Is he going to kill him if he gets too hard? Like that, I thought that was great. That flip-flopping back and forth was awesome.
The interesting thing that I saw that I liked the movie. I really did like the movie. But the more interesting thing that I saw was the promo for Blood.
What's that?
No, what is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what is Blood? Blood
is a Japanese animation. Originally, and this is the live-action version of it.
Oh, live-action, okay.
And it's about an ancient...
Vampires.
It's an ancient woman, a girl, who is killing vampires. And I don't want to go more into it, because, I mean...
So is
precious
this Buffy,
little,
or,
please.
I mean, what...
It's Buffy, if Buffy carried a really sharp sword most of the time.
She did? Well, no.
She did it one time, but she didn't at the beginning. So no, this is all that Buffy and if the vampires weren't kind of stupid guys, but were vicious and vile and had long claws and ate things,
ew.
Mostly people.
Okay,
it's a really good video, and this is looking really good. I'm really looking forward to Blood.
Blood. Okay, let's go into Warehouse 13. Did everybody see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Thoughts?
Oh, man. I'm really easygoing on TV, about as bad as I am on movies, but I actually really liked it. I thought it was trying to be a little bit of X-Files, but I felt like there was even the old 80s show Moonlighting.
Oh.
Probably nobody remembers that.
Yeah,
the Bruce Willis TV show?
Yeah.
It felt like it took X-Files setup, but it had more of like a Ghostbusters, Sam Raimi TV show kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it had that relationship that was more like Moonlighting than X-Files relationship. It was obviously it was a little bit more of a comedy, but I don't know. I liked it a lot. I liked all the homages to the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think that they have incredible amount of stories that they can do just by having that wide open. You can pretty much tap any mythology anytime. They can bring in a ton of different writers to have different kinds of angles on it, like a little bit harder sci-fi, some more kind of mythical stuff. I think that they're going to have a struggle trying to get all the mythology of Warehouse 13 and all the kind of bigger, longer picture stuff and the Monster of the Week episodes. That's going to be the toughest part.
Oh, Monster of the Week. Oh, God. It's Mutant of the Week. Like, I'm small. I don't know.
Article of the Week.
Artifact of the Week.
Well, I'm really excited about Warehouse 13 because of Saul Rubinek. I love him.
I think he is just awesome.
I was going to mention him.
Yeah. I mean, I first started, I was really, like, it began for me with him with an Outer Limits episode called Time to Time. It was, I had to deal with concentration camps, and he was traveling in time and trying to
remember
that one. And then he was in Stargate. Every time he's on TV, it makes me cry. I love that guy. But, yeah.
Well, it was also in the, what was it, the Star Trek Next Generation episode, Most Toys?
Yes.
He's the collector, yes. And he steals Data. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I'm excited about this show. It reminds me of The Librarian with whatever the guy from that. And if they're trying to do like a riff on the Librarian, I would much rather see him in it than these guys. But these guys are doing these guys are doing a good job. I'm not going to give them a hard time. So, what do you think, Will?
I like the dynamic that the couple has. I do not know their names, but I do like the fact that the guy is kind of dopey without being dopey.
He's a little right sensitive.
You're right. He's asensitive. He's you know, he has you know, that ability or those abilities, mm-hmm. and which he doesn't understand, obviously. And the woman doesn't understand or feel that kind of instinct or impression of things. And it should be interesting. Although with Houdini's wallet. Don't know why it was Houdini's wallet, but
I don't know anything, you know, about Houdini's wallet.
Well, Houdini, I'm assuming, because I'm kind of a fan of Houdini. Houdini had this whole thing about looking for his dead mother through mediums, and he would go out and he'd bust mediums. He actually got he did a pretty severe job at that, and it was kind of an interesting. And then the whole thing was that his wife and he had a signal. They had a word that he would, if he came back, he would give to the psychic to perpetuate, you know, so she would know that there was an afterlife. Mm-hmm. And, of course,
I think that's going to come up a lot more.
Really? Yeah. Did anybody watch Poltergeist, The Legacy? Where they would have these
episodes of it, yeah.
They would have, I think they had a mansion with the objects just like this, and they'd go out and collect them and stuff like that.
Well, the big
wasn't
one
there was a Friday the 13th series like
Friday
that?
Too?
Yeah,
13,
yep, yeah. Just like that.
Yeah.
They came out the same time. I think they were competing.
All the mm-hmm. cursed
things. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Eric? You're quiet?
I'm just listening. Yeah.
Don't be quiet.
Oh, by the way, I was just looking at my notes right here, and yes, apparently they're saying that Houdini's wallet supposedly empowered her character to supposedly induced her visions of her deceased boyfriend.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Right, yeah,
okay,
got that. No, I got
which
that.
Which almost complete. Yeah, it makes sense, but I was completely not even paying attention when I was watching it for that. Yeah, I don't know. These types of shows are not my cup of tea.
Why?
What do you mean? I don't know. What do you mean, why?
Yeah, why? It's a good show.
Like I said, see, I didn't say it wasn't a good show. I guess good shows like this are not my cup of tea.
This is your first time. It's just your first time, and we'll cut you a little slack.
Yeah.
You have to have an opinion, and you have to be able to defend it.
Oh, no, surely. No. Okay, hold on.
No, Will behave.
Hey, I am happy. I am happy to go at length about my dissonance in the show.
Like, what is it?
Where to start?
Oh.
No, I mean, I would never watch this show if I didn't know that we were going to be talking about this. It's the only reason I made a point to watch it.
What's wrong with it?
Well, it's not just, again, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just those types of shows are just not appealing to me. And, okay, it wasn't horrible. I gotta say that because some things I do deem a lot more distasteful to me. But it was okay. Like, I watched and I was okay with it. Okay, maybe I have a strange mind about these things, but one thing that I can't help but think about, and I wish I could not think about it when I watch television, is like production values, and especially of newer shows. Like, if I'm watching an older show from the 90s, like SG-1 or Buffy. Like, I Let It Slide, you know, it's a different time. Same thing with X-Files. But especially with current run brand new shows, I guess I'm way too spoiled on the production values of something like Lost or Heroes. And then even like Battlestar Galactica, which was did not have the budget, but they pulled it off. Like, they made it look like it had a bigger budget than it did. So that was like okay. So I was completely distracted pretty much from start to finish watching it. Aside from the screenplay, aside from the actors, just the sets and the effects, and it's just me, I guess. It takes me completely out of the story. It takes me out of everything. Aww. And I'm distracted by that the entire way through watching it, you know. And then even that aside, just that type of premise, like, you name those shows that it's like, and yeah, those things, they're just, yeah, they're not really my cup of tea. Mm. So, but it wasn't horrible. I could watch it, and like, if you guys kept watching it to do on the show, I would do it just for this podcast. But I never would if not for this podcast. Like,
you see that, Kat? You've corrupted him. Watch the show just to be on your damn podcast. I hope you're happy.
That's some good TV. Okay, well, speaking, did you watch Eureka, anybody?
I did as well. First time. I did as well.
Would you say, Ryan, yeah?
Yeah, but it was my first time watching it, so I was a little loopy on some stuff.
Okay, so for a first timer who've never seen it, and you started from, what is it, season 3, season 4, I don't know.
2.5, actually.
Oh, whatever. It seemed like it'd been years. What'd you think?
I liked it. It seemed like a show that's kind of settled into kind of a nice casual pace. Like, if you've watched the show and you like the characters, there's a lot of little, like, there seemed like there was a ton of times when two characters would just kind of look at each other and wink at each other, and I was supposed to know what that meant.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Obviously, having not watched it. But whoever the main guy is, I think the show just runs on his shoulders. I think he was awesome. He felt just like a really cool, easygoing, like, guy that I'd like to watch the whole season of now that I've seen it. The idea, like, the whole setup of just this, like, I'm assuming it's a town that's, like, some government-based town or something, and that anything can happen at any time. I love that. It feels a little bit like Scooby-Doo to me. Like, there's always some kind of weird thing that's going to happen, and within 45 minutes to an hour, we're going to solve it, and everything's back to just being normal again, or as normal as Eureka can be. But I liked it a lot. I thought, I don't know how you guys felt, but we were just talking production value. I thought the show's production value for what it tries to do, which being on sci-fi, I can't imagine it has a huge budget. I thought they did a lot of really cool looking things with it. The huge more satellite dishes and everything, and all the kind of explosion effects, all that stuff was cool. I don't know, what do you guys think of it going into this before this episode?
I love it because... watching Battlestar Galactica and how depressing it was, and then you go over to something happy and shiny like Eureka. I was ready for Eureka like 6 months ago. I was calling for it, and I like it because it's funny and it does wrap up, and the characters do get dark. I mean, if you go back and watch you know, some of the other episodes, it gets dark, but then it lightens up because it's just a bright, shiny, funny, you know, comedy. And,
it's definitely kind of comedy.
What did you think, Will?
I liked it. It was a lot better than the last half of the last season.
Really?
The first 13 episodes... No, well, my whole problem with the first 13 episodes of the season was, or 15 episodes, I think it was, were that they had a big plot line in the middle that was the act, but it wasn't an act, but it was some deodorant.
Oh, yeah, they had that big sponsorship by, I have it here.
I can't remember.
Degree, because I wear it. The deodorant now, so. It was a big degree.
Wait a minute, you didn't do that because...
I was wearing it long before.
Okay, thank you.
Please. Because it had a pretty lady with the black dress on it, and I liked the... Okay, anyway. Eureka, so Ryan was new. Will, you've been watching it for a while. Eric, you're new as well. What do you think?
Well, actually, when the original premiere episode, the very beginning, when that happened, I actually tuned in for the very first episode, and I watched it, and I knew it wasn't my cup of tea. Oh. Yes. and so I haven't watched it ever since, until now. And I watched it, first 20 or 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, I just remembered now what I was thinking, what I had wrote down. Oh, when I was my initial thought, because I seriously wanted to turn it off like after the first 10-15 minutes. When they had that case sitting on the table, and I realized that whatever person would be in there, and then they opened it up, and then I saw it, and then it came out, and then it expanded, and then its outer shell came off. Wow! And then right when I saw that, I was like, okay. Has jumped the shark.
But
I spoke too soon. I spoke way too soon. Because as I kept watching and saw other things that happened along the way, I was like, no, actually, perhaps this whole show is like a shark jump.
Oh.
Like, I think it's like,
man, you are hard.
I'm not. I mean, I just thought it was a shark jump show. And so I was like, okay, I guess that is what it is. So just go with it. I mean, because some of the effects did look corny to me. I know earlier someone said they looked fine and everything, but like those radio towers, I saw them. I was like, really? Those radio towers? Oh,
you're picking them one up. I like that.
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly. When he lifted it up,
it's really like
another shark move. Okay, and I was just like, okay, fine. So I just took it as what it was, So I lowered the bar extremely for myself. So by the end, I was like, okay, it wasn't that horrible. And actually, what made it somewhat redeemable for me was there was a certain character who I found reasonably attractive. And so that really... What? Is that wrong? Come on. I mean, hundreds of sci-fi shows have been cast in that way before. So they obviously...
Really good-looking chicks on that show. They really do.
They were all fine, but one stuck out for my particular sensibilities, and so I was like, this makes it a little bit easier.
The head of Global Dynamics?
No, I don't believe
so. Not the pregnant one? It had to be the deputy.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how quickly
sugar makes the medicine go down a little bit better.
Oh, there you go.
Well, then you missed the whole thing of her, because in the first season she was just so awesome. She was gun-toting. She was just awesome. So you need to go back and watch all of them.
Definitely.
But as far as the cheesy effects or the low production value that you just hate, I guess I've watched so many of these shows that in comparison to the really crappy shows, these effects are better than those in which you have not experienced enough to appreciate these. If that makes more sense.
Right, but like I said, don't take me too wrong, though. I didn't, hate these shows that much. I want to reserve that for a time when something I really hate comes up. but these things just don't do it for me. And I was also thinking a moment ago that, actually, when I was, elementary, middle school age, I would have gobbled up all these shows. I would have, at that time...
Now he's calling us young and stupid.
No, I'm not saying... No, I have my... No. Hey, I was the guy raving about Transformers as a fanboy not too long ago. So, whatever. But no, I'm just saying, I could imagine I would have appreciated both of these shows a lot more back then when, everything was entertaining to me at that time.
The thing I like about Eureka is kind of the same thing you like about Warehouse 13. Hangar 13. What?
Yeah, no. Same thing.
Warehouse 13.
We get it.
Same thing. No, it's light, it's fun, and I think they definitely needed some, like you say, Kat, they needed some easy, simple, not too taxing, not too depressing shows after Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, definitely, because... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think when Caprica comes back in the fall,
y'all are gonna have to do those shows without me. Because I am
really
you're not gonna watch it at all.
I refuse.
Really?
I am not. Really? I refuse to subject myself to depressing show if I don't have to. I can choose. I choose to be happy.
It's what they call drama.
My ass. That's what they call a fucking train wreck of let's see how far we can piss people off and.
Well, yeah, I got a little bit excited there at the end. But I really want to thank Eric and Will and Ryan for joining the show. You can get their contact information in the show notes and as well as links to other stuff that we discuss in the show. Please go ahead and give me a call at 77fembot6 or hit me at fancyfembot@gmail.com if you have any comments on the show. Also, scifipartyline.com has a comment section, and you're welcome to leave your comments and thoughts there. See you next week. Next time is Harry Potter. So I hope you join us for that. Bye.